evening, everyone. May I have, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Thank you. All right. May I have a motion to move questions and comments to after committee reports? Okay, Mrs. Battieri, seconded by Mrs. Noesi. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay, may I have a motion to approve the minutes of the regular business meeting of August 30th, 2021? Mrs. Jurs, seconded by Mrs. Noesi. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor? Passes unanimously. May I have a motion to approve treasurer's and business office financial reports and extracurricular fund report for August 2021 and internal claims report for June 2021 and July 2021? We have a motion. Mrs. Jurs, seconded by Mr. Montalto. Any discussion? All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay, that brings us to the superintendent's report.
Good evening, everybody. Everybody can hear me with this. Good evening. At this point, we'd like to welcome our student council members to give their first update for September. Let's welcome Kate O'Brien and Maeve Graham. Thank you.
Hello. Opening day at BHS was a huge success. The incoming class of 2027 mastered opening their lockers with the help of student council members at orientation. Assemblies for all grade levels run by Principal Cerone were informative and run over all policies and guidelines everyone must follow.
We are looking forward to an exciting 2021-2022 school year that will bring back some traditions, starting off with the Homecoming 2021, which will take place on Saturday, October 21st, starting at 2:30 p.m. Ideas for floats and Spirit Week are already being discussed. In addition to Homecoming, we hope to have our annual Safe Halloween, BHS Presents, and Jingle Walk events to bring the community together.
We'd like to extend our sincerest thanks to the Board of Education for their continued support and effort in making our school thrive. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Thanks so much. It's always such a nice pleasure having our kids speak at the front of every meeting, so I appreciate you both being here tonight as we are back to normal, almost normal, so thank you. Just briefly, I want to echo the ladies' sentiments. Students returned to school last Thursday, September 9th. It was really a terrific start to the new school year. Overall, an extremely smooth opening of all three schools, with happy students who seemed excited to return to seeing their teachers this year and seeing their friends once again. The central office leadership team spent much of the first day in our schools welcoming all the students back. Our PR firm was also here snapping first day photos, which are also on our new website. So please take a look at our new website and try to navigate yourself through that. We also, this year, started a universal pre-kindergarten program. The first day of school for our UPK students was also Thursday, September 9th. We have a classroom at Babylon Elementary School comprised of 18 youngsters. And we also have another classroom at the provider's East Islip location comprised of another 11 youngsters. So we are just thrilled, absolutely thrilled, that we were able to bring UPK into Babylon School District this year for these students and their families. I did mention the new district website. It rolled out. Hopefully you're maneuvering around it. We think it's a little bit more user-friendly. We are still navigating the website ourselves, making little tweaks as we go along, but it really is a fresh new look with new features, school news, important announcements, calendar events, and there's also a translation button that's available, allowing visitors to translate the content into a variety of languages using Google Translate. So we hope you find the link easily accessible as you search. Also, this past Friday, throughout the district, students and staff remembered the events of 9/11 in age-appropriate ways, whether it was wearing red, white, and blue, thank you, principals, or taking a moment to reflect in a moment of silence, to our social studies classes discussing the events that marked the 20-year, I'm not going to say anniversary, but the 20-year mark of those events from 20 years ago. Additionally, this past Saturday, you might have noticed, we did have custodians on staff. All flags on district property were flown at half staff in remembrance of those who lost their lives 20 years ago. So we never forget in Babylon. I also want to end talking about Meet the Teacher evenings. This week kicks off our first two of three Meet the Teacher nights within the Babylon School District. The grade school will welcome parents tomorrow evening, Tuesday, September 14th, and the elementary school will welcome parents on Wednesday evening, September 15th. Because of the nature of the pandemic, we have decided, only because it's a lot of people in buildings at the same time, we are running these virtually, even though we have decided to open up our doors to visitors. We just would rather play it a little safe, you know, with Meet the Teacher Night. So I do know that our IT department and our principals have sent out information to parents on how to access those team meetings. And if they can do another reminder tomorrow, that would be great. And finally, I do want to personally thank our Babylon PTA for the lovely school decoration initiative that helped our schools welcome all students back to a new school year. The decorations were absolutely lovely, and the efforts of so many parents did not go unnoticed. The schools looked absolutely terrific, welcoming everybody back. So thank you, PTA, for that beautiful work. And thank you for also coordinating the annual school supply initiative, room reps. I know you're doing a lot, so thank you very much. And that's it.
I wanted to thank Mrs. Razi. Also, the music department supplied some really delightful, wonderful, heartwarming musicians at the 9/11 memorial.
Yes.
So I don't know all the children's names. I just know a few of them, so I'm not going to say. But it was a really nice touch.
They did a great job, and we actually they were here today, I think, taking their photos, and that information is also going on the website to show that they did that this weekend. Thank you.
Okay, we are moving on to committee reports. Audit committees, Terry.
Hi, we have not yet met for the audit committee. We're looking at a tentative date, October 13th, and we'll know more once we have the meeting with the auditors.
Thank you. Finance Committee, Mrs. Jers.
Finance Committee doesn't really do much until the new year, but our first meeting will be the 24th of January.
All right, Mr. Montalto on switch committees. All right, buildings and grounds, Mr. Montalto.
Yes, our meeting will be this Wednesday, the 15th at 4:30 p.m. in the high school here, most likely in this room, everything, if anyone would like to come.
Okay, technology committee, Mr. Sanka.
Sorry, thank you. The technology subcommittee is going to meet on October 18th. I believe it's at 4:30 in the library, and for the next public session on November 15th, I'll be able to work a report back for you.
Okay, curriculum committee, Mrs. Noesi.
Hi, the curriculum committee will have its first meeting next Monday, September 20th at 5 o'clock.
Okay, thank you. And the policy committee will be meeting on Monday the 20th at 4 p.m. All right, so that moves us to, because we made our swap, we are up to, are there any representatives of organizations?
So we're doing that before? Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing this now.
I just want to
be quick.
Sure. Elena Barablot, Babylon Village Girl Scouts. Just confirming, when you said you were welcoming all permits from small groups, does that include Girl Scouts?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, because
yes.
We've been having a little trouble, so I just want to make sure it includes us.
It does include you, yes.
Excellent, thank you.
Yeah, just keep the groups somewhat reasonable.
Right? Yes.
Not like 100 people
absolutely.
Coming in. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, I'll follow up on that for you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Hi, I just want to thank you for all the stuff. We worked hard to try to make sure that the teachers came back to an amazing environment. So I'll just give a little recap. Probably some of it is what you just mentioned. We had many volunteers over several days. They were able to decorate the ES lobby. The theme was in conjunction with Ms. Flamenhaft was working with the SAL committee. So the sign was a result from their work. In addition, we were able to do several hours in Costco, and we stocked the teachers' lounges at both buildings, which was something new that we chose to do this year instead of just having a breakfast for the teachers. So I'm sure it's probably empty by now, if I was to visit, but I'm sure that they all enjoyed it, and we did have some volunteers that also made some signs, so I felt that that was probably hopefully a good thing for them. As following along in last-minute efforts, at 4 p.m. this afternoon, I was able to distribute the annual PTA folders that go home for open house tomorrow. So they're at the elementary school, and they're at the grade school, and the secretaries will be busy in the morning putting those into the teachers' boxes.
I love those folders.
I know. So hopefully they will all get home tomorrow. If not, then the following day. But we designed it a little bit different this year, the back folders part. Yeah. So. That's a big thing that I know a lot of parents like. In regards to that, we were not able to get our grade school lists yet, so we're going to have a little bit of a problem trying to get everybody together for the meetings tomorrow as far as promoting the PTA, but hopefully we'll get our involvement. I have noticed that we do have a significant number of first grade parents that are missing from our PTA, and that is due to the inability to have an in-person open house.
Right.
I understand the need to not do one again this year. So we really need your help to help us reach those first grade and the kindergarten parents. Some of them don't even really know. They don't read everything.
Yeah. We can do that if you want to send anything to me.
Okay.
We can shoot it out to them.
Okay.
You know, just weekly, you know, even through the principal's newsletters. Yeah, it's unfortunate
right.
with me, the teacher, this time around.
I know, it's hard. And you know what?
And they're all new parents.
All,
yeah.
And if we're not in their face, sometimes that's the hard part. But I was hoping that maybe a parent, the room reps have all been picked, whether or not it might be accessible that they could take 5 minutes during the calls tomorrow. I mean, that's really up to the teachers, but that would be great if at least they could introduce themselves, put their cell phone number on the screen, and then parents could just send them text messages and say, okay, here's my information, because if we don't have the sheets, I won't know, or the room reps won't know or verify the information. So if you give me the okay on that, I will give them the okay.
I think it's fine. Principals, what do you think?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know,
okay.
maybe like 2 minutes, three,
right.
you know,
three.
We're not dealing with a lot of time, but
sorry.
Like maybe like 3 minutes, like a commercial, you know, to
okay.
get okay. membership up, that would be great.
I'll
yeah.
tell them to put their phone
yeah.
number on a little sign
yeah.
and hold it up. Okay, so that would be that, an Adventureland reminder, Wednesday, September 29th, 6 to 9 p.m. It's open for only Babylon students. And we're using the Adventureland as a kickoff fundraiser. We have already sold over 400 tickets, so I'm hoping that that will get kicked up. I am going to have my room reps mention that in 10 seconds of their 3 minutes tomorrow. And I know you discussed already resuming as much normalcy. I'm assuming then that that would be a green light for the room reps to be able to speak to the teachers to hopefully plan.
Yes, we talked to the principals
okay.
about that. And they are definitely, you know, because they're singletons
right.
coming in. They should have, you know, an active participatory role
okay.
this year.
Okay.
Yes.
So then I won't have to modify any of my communications with them.
No.
Okay. Other than following whatever rules are in place
right.
for their attendance.
Correct.
Okay. We have our photo day coming up on Thursday, October 7th. Will we be taking those pictures indoors? Or you can think about it
sure.
and get back to me.
yeah,
we can definitely...
We have a beautiful day. The pictures look beautiful outside. But indoors, you know, it's going to depend on spacing, I think. Let me talk to the principals first
okay.
and see what kind of footprint we're dealing with.
Okay.
You know?
So the only feedback we got from last year was
uh-huh.
there was an awful lot of squinting.
Right.
From the outdoor pictures.
Right, right, yeah.
And for the indoor, keep in mind there's only 3 people max that usually come from Urban Simon at each location.
Right.
And we can obviously limit the volunteers that would come in if that would make it easier. I feel like inside is definitely easier. They come through, they come out. Outside, then we have to chase people down, and we weren't able.
Right.
I just want them to have a real picture.
It's one day each building, right?
It's just the same day in both buildings this year.
Mm-hmm. So
and
for one day, you know, I'm sure we could probably figure something out to be inside.
Right.
Yeah, if we keep the volunteers to a minimum and, you know, look for space just for one day, I'm sure we could make it work.
Okay, great. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Our first general PTA meeting will be Tuesday, September 21st, so we're looking forward to being allowed to have the parents come. I think we are setting it for the cafeteria, and we don't usually get too many. I'm sure that we will be 6 feet spaced at the tables. And then I just have one final issue for the PTA, and we're going to need your help for this because obviously you can't give me a name and number listing. How can we promote the PTA to our now bigger homeschool community that we have? And I don't know how big that community is.
That would be through my office.
Okay.
It's not a large community, but you get me all the information, we will get it to them.
Okay, because I think what we'll do is we'll maybe come up with a new PTA, join PTA letter geared for homeschool parents.
Great.
Are they invited in for meetings?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so they're allowed to do anything that the PTA
is
doing. Okay,
yes, they are.
That was my question for that. So that's it, and let's go school.
Let's go school. Thank you, Mrs. Kavanaugh.
Thank you. Okay, any other organizations? Okay, so questions and comments from visitors. Please stand and state your name.
We're like an unofficial committee, I guess. I'm Valerie Basile, and this is Corinne Roy. And we are the parental members of the Gold Bus disaster. And I know that you guys have heard about this already. But I'm just coming to you as a parent of 5 children who has run the bus system here for 12 years or so at this point. I have a kindergartner and a first grader on this bus. And after the three days now of being late and it being a 30-35 minute time on the bus, they're crying at home. They're crying at home and they don't want to go to school. They have a stomach ache, and they're like, we're the last ones in, we're the last ones in the school. It's giving them anxiety. We've had 2 years of anxiety in every ounce of what we've done here, and it's not fair to them. They are so little. They are 5 and they're 6. And even my 9-year-old is trying to like put on a brave face for the little ones, but it's hurting them. And so this isn't something that can take 2 weeks to figure out. Like, it's gotta be done now. It has to be done now before these kids really don't wanna go to school. And I know it feels like it's a bus situation, okay, but for them, it's everything. It's everything to them. She's been waiting to get on the bus for 4 years watching her siblings, and now it's awful for her. That's not fair. So I'm really asking that you guys put this as a top priority. We shouldn't have a bus route that goes from south of Montauk, over by Corinne's house on Prospect, up through Argyle, over on Railroad, up 109, past the West Babylon High School, tootling around through like the whole neighborhood there, and then coming back to the school. Every other bus route are these little chunks. It's the president section, it's here, it's there. This one traverses the entire west side of Babylon Village. It's extreme. And I just think that we can do better. We really can. So I'm pleading with you to please make this a priority for us.
Absolutely, thank you.
Thank you so much.
I just wanted to add in about the number of students on the bus. When I was reading, I was somebody who, in the community, who was looking to possibly go with the BOCES program because of my son, who's a year younger, he has a lot of medical issues, so we had a lot of anxiety sending Avery to school. And I read through that plan, and I was pretty confident when I was looking at it that the buses were going to be maybe more filled to capacity than they were last year, but that the families were going to be sitting together of children in the same household, and that my child doesn't have anybody in her household, so my assumption would be that she would be riding on a bus with, you know, in her own seat. And that's not what's happened. And most of the community, there are plenty of members that are watching tonight, are a little upset that there are three heads to a seat all the way across. And those children are 5 and 6. They're not properly wearing their masks in school without a teacher prompting them to please pull it up. I am a school teacher. I work with special education students in 4th and 5th grade. Even it's needed. So if they're three heads and they're on the bus for 45 minutes, they're not properly wearing their masks. It's asking for, you know, more contact tracing and more cases that are going to spread for COVID. And that's a major priority. And I think it's a major priority with a lot of the families that live or that are on the gold bus. And if they're on for 45 minutes and they're sitting three heads across, that's too much time to be not properly supervised.
We definitely hear you. We are definitely, I promise you, we're looking into it. Do you want to mention some things? I know Miss Lynette has been working with Mrs. Bustamante, but we definitely have to start addressing some of these aspects.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I'm new here too, but I've been working with Karen all day today, all day Friday. I know you hear that it's only the first 3 days of school. I do want to address, we work very closely with the bus company, the Gold Bus. The first thing I did was I wanted to look at the mileage that each bus travels on, because I kept hearing this route is very circuitous. I got in the car with Karen and I drove the route, and I understand it makes a left on Park and goes like 2 blocks north. But when I ran the miles, I just want to let you know, like, the Gold Bus is right in the middle. It's 3.73 miles round trip. We were trying to look for the most efficient to get the kids there quickly. I know first day jitters, what we did immediately after the first day of school was we moved the Gold Bus to second in line at the elementary school, so that it would leave the first after the beach bus. And the next day was wonderful. We had the owner of the bus following the bus and made it to certain stops within 15, 20 minutes, which is great on the bus. The third day, which is today, right? The buses weren't on time for school. Unfortunately, they were late getting home because they were late leaving some of the schools. We're trying to get the kinks worked out because, you know, you have little kids. You're out there, you have kindergartners. You make sure they're getting on the right bus in the gym. And then at the bus stop, we had two kids on the, what did you say, purple line, and yet they belonged on the green line. Like, we really have to make sure that your kids get on the right bus. So each day, we're shaving off 5 minutes. We're having the bus driver start earlier, 8 minutes earlier. And we have spoken to her. Today the problem was that at each stop she gets talked to, you know what I'm saying? So that delay, that's another thing. So she has been told, you know, in the morning she was waiting in case people didn't come. So we have been working on this since Friday. I would just ask for some patience. I do want to, you know, like, we have looked at the mileage on the routes and the numbers. We're continuing to do so. We're taking your concerns seriously. I spent all day today. So that's all. Yeah.
Just so you know, if you're starting earlier, that was not communicated to the families who ride the bus. So if she starts 8 minutes earlier but no one knows it, that's not helpful for us because half the kids are going to miss it unless they're out 15 minutes early.
Right, we were having her leave a little bit earlier. So that was part of the trying to think of it. So we're trying to take steps, and we were happy Friday because they got home in a reasonable hour. And then today, you know, the delays with kids, their babies. You want to make sure they're on the right bus, and, you know. So we are absolutely taking this seriously. We understand all your concerns. I just wanted to let you know what we were doing.
Thank you. And if it could be noted to the bus drivers that the children are supposed to be sitting with kids within their families, because that's on the district website, that's part of the plan.
If they have siblings. Typically, what we want them to do is sit by grade level, or the older siblings sit with the younger siblings in grade order.
Because their assigned seats do not have children from their families sitting.
It depends on the bus, and that's something we have to work probably with the bus driver on, too.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is the only, this is the time that all questions are being asked. Yes. It's different.
Does anyone have anything else before I go? Okay. Angela Campani here, as myself now. Following up on the bus, I did not take it that my son would not be sitting with anybody. I understood that he would be with sitting with somebody because I also have an only child and doesn't have siblings. But I agree with her comment, the three little heads are what you see, and we're have to be 3 feet apart in the classroom, and we have to have our masks on, and we know they're not, we know what they're doing. So, and I know, I have been talking to some of the younger parents trying to explain to them, 2 years ago, this was in fact what our buses looked like, and now we have other issues to think about, but putting the routes together, back together, I don't really think is not what we, is what we should have been doing, because that's what we do, that's what we budget for. But I do think that there needs to be some concern, especially if some of these kids are staying on the bus for 30 minutes and they are like this and you don't know. So you could be removing people, but maybe it's not actually working from your contact tracing. So, and she's right. I know that people are listening and they are concerned about it. So just knowing that you guys are looking at it, I think is important. And Ms. Lynetta, thank you for that explanation. Do you know, is that the longest mileage route?
No, it's right.
Excluding the beach
right
bus.
Right now we're keeping all the windows open and stuff. But if you look at it, it ranges from, it's like right in the middle. Like blue is 3.86, tan is 4.04, yellow is 3.65, gold is 3.79. So it's right in the efficient mileage. Like Karen's lived here a long time, you know, she knows about left and right. I'm so lucky to have her because she worked hard and she, you know, she really cares about the kids and doing this. So I asked her by mile, and it's the most efficient way that we came up with. And there's always room for improvement, but that I just didn't want it to be thought that we didn't put a lot of thought into the way the routes were.
Okay. Right. And I mean, if you think about it, the bigger issue could be that, you know, it's got to cross Montauk Highway and then it's got to go over to Deer Park Avenue and cross. So though the mileage might be the same, the driving time would definitely not be. So thank you.
I looked at the duration too, because that was, I looked at the duration, the number of stops and the miles. So even duration, well, the duration is first bus stop pickup to last at 25 miles per hour. Sometimes it's 15. You know, it said that the duration for a gold is 16, but then if it's 15 miles an hour, it's 21, 20, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So they're all around the same. We have a program that has all this out, so, you know, with Karen's knowledge and that, we
I guess it's important for parents to remember that this is the first week of school, and a lot of parents are chatting with the bus driver, so hopefully, you know, get informed.
And
we really appreciate this feedback, because going cross town doesn't make sense to me. That's something that probably we need to tweak.
Right.
We need to fix that. So,
I know that there are parents too that, I mean, are concerned just about like the span and being, you know, a major road.
Yeah.
You know,
there's definitely improvements to be made.
Prospect Street, everybody's parent. We all made the same mistake. A big yellow school bus with a big yellow circle came by,
sure.
And apparently half our street is yellow and half our street is gold. Everybody went on the yellow bus to school that day. And we were all like, oh my God, I took the wrong school bus.
Yeah.
But the entire block was like, wait,
not
the
easy.
Gold bus and yellow circle bus?
Oh, I bet.
I too am on the gold bus, I want to note, and it is you know, they have been working on trying to fix the issue, because for the elementary school it's 35 minutes, for the grade school it's 45 minutes to get home. So it is a significant problem. The route is inefficient as far as it goes in my point of view. So they are looking at it, so thank you for that.
Keep in mind though, going home times this week, the buildings have taken extra long to dismiss. So it could be where they're not pulling out in time either, because for the reason that, you know, Ms. Lynetta just said, we have to make sure the children get on the right buses. And this is the time of the year, you know how it goes, right? This is the time of the year you're going to have those kindergarten, first, second, and even third, fourth, fifth grade teachers, sixth grade teachers, making sure every kid knows what bus to go on. So we're seeing that happen too, where they were late pulling out.
Look, I just want to add to the yellow gold issue. So these are kids.
and the bus driver says, I think those are my kids because they came with her on the way to school, but their tag says yellow. So I got to radio back into the main building and make sure that I am putting them on the right bus, that they have the right bus tag, so for each of those little kids. And then, you know, all of a sudden you're going like all the way down the blue line, there's two browns on the end. And for, you know, so it does, and each day, I really think we're close, like, because now we're recognizing what some of these things are, like what has happened, and getting them much faster onto the bus. We've been keeping like a little time check. And so they're not on the bus the whole time, right? Like, so if the bus isn't rolling, like they're pretty much, once they're loaded, they're rolling. But I'm not putting them on until I've had us triple check the tags. And
this is the time of year that happens.
Right.
Every single
school
district throughout the country is dealing with this now, because you want to be careful. You don't want to lose a child. But that is our reality right now. That's causing the delay getting home, just so you know.
Listen,
you know?
I'm fine with my kids taking longer to get home. I'm in no rush. Appreciate my extra 5 minutes, but you know, it's just and maybe we can also not have yellow and gold next time we're adding a bus route. Like, make it a black bus or a polka dot bus or something that isn't like almost the same color as on the same road. Might be a something that would help ease a little bit of this.
Anything else on the buses?
Regarding agenda items, I am asking if the board would consider including the support of the agenda items in the actual agenda packet so that I don't have to foil every month my financial documents or the financial documents for Ms. Lynetta. I don't understand why we don't just include everything in the package. I have seen board presentations where when I go into the, and I know it's nice to go into the agenda and it's 5 pages, and when you attach policy documents, all of a sudden it's 35 pages. I saw board agendas that were 300 pages because they attached everything. They attached the copies of the board minutes, the financial statements. So I'm asking if that might be something you would consider. I mean, I'm sure that most people probably wouldn't look at it, but to have some consistency in the documents, that's just something I'm asking if you guys would consider having a full package together and not just the agenda. Because then I'm standing here and you're going to approve something and I don't even know what that something, none of us know what that something is or looks like. I can't even ask the question. So that's just something I wanted to ask. You obviously don't have to answer me now, so just thought I would ask. Since I did not see it on the agenda, I would like if you would discuss your open seat, please.
As it stands right now, we are remaining at 6, but we always have the option to reevaluate.
So your final decision has been that you were going to stay at 6?
No. I didn't say final. So right now we're staying at 6.
Oh,
if
okay.
We're seeing how it goes, and if we feel the need to reopen the discussion, then we will do so.
Okay. And so then who will be overseeing the, is it the policy?
I will.
Okay. Okay, so now I'm going to address some agenda items. I'm allowed to. This is what this is for right now?
Yes.
Okay. So, item 11. This is for the building and grounds, COVID relief expenditure for the air conditioning unit. I am extremely confused as to what exactly is happening with item 11 and item 12. We just installed air conditioning on top of our roll call, did we not? So why now?
She'll tell you. Mrs. Lynetta will explain.
Okay.
Okay, so this is what happened was the bids, the project came in at $125,000 higher, or $150,000, whatever that amount is, I don't have it in front of me. Then the bid amount, because due to COVID, it's a health and safety, air conditioning. So there was a special law approved where we can approve the use of the reserve to pay that additional cost due to COVID. But then we have 2 years to repay it back to the reserve, so the general fund is really paying for it. So this is a mechanism to record it financially. So we authorizing the use of the reserve, and then the way we ended up this year, we have the money to pay it back right away. So that's what those two resolutions are. because capital reserve usually needs voter authorization to spend.
Right.
Due to COVID and the air conditioning and the bids coming in and the cost being more than anticipated, this is a mechanism for us to be able to do the air conditioning and do it properly.
So in the two agenda items,
mm-hmm.
it's referring to a temporary transfer as of June 30th, 2021. So
yes.
Is this mm-hmm. money moved last year? Because I don't remember.
No, it was expended. So at the end of the year, we had to resolve it somehow. We had three act that you could budget for. Budgets are tight and we're allowed. It's health and safety. So this is the way that we're able to pay for the remainder of it.
Okay. So you're just pretty much moving money from one fund to another.
It came out of the reserve, and then at the end of the year when we looked at the final numbers, we're able to pay it back right away.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then moving on to agenda item number 13. So I was not able to ask questions, Ms. Lynetta, at the last meeting about your retirement contribution reserve fund because I was on the phone listening. So you are moving $300,000 to the retirement contribution reserve and then $428,000 to this new reserve subfund that we created.
Yes. Yes.
So is the contribution reserve, the original one, is that capped at 300?
No. These are my recommendations. Reserves, well, you know what they're used for, financial stability and smoothing out the tax rate increases. So the ERS reserve, the way the legislation created this reserve is that the TRS reserve is a sub-fund of the ERS reserve, and the TRS, they capped it. They said, they got smart. They said, you cannot put more than 10% of the prior year's TRS salary in this TRS subfund. The ERS reserve, there is no cap. I made that recommendation based on the balance at the end of the year, based on average expenditures, and what would give us the flexibility going forward. Budgeted.
So if the reserve subfund had not been approved last month,
right?
How would we get that $428,000?
We would have recommended to put it into another reserve, whether a capital reserve or you have your EBLR reserve. What happens is, like, the contribution rates, I've been in this business a long time, 25 years. I've seen the TRS rates at 0.62% of total salaries, and I've seen them at 16%. I've seen them go from 6 to 15 or 6 to 13 in 1 year. So you're talking about that percentage increase and then the salaries increase. So it could really swing. So I think it's sound financial practice to have that reserve because it takes a couple of years for the rates to catch up to the market. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's capped at 10%, and you can only put in 2% a year.
Okay. So if I was to ask you, after this transfer, how much is left in our unassigned fund balance, do you have that answer for me?
Yes, I had it in the... Do you want me to put up my presentation? Yeah. I have a whole...
Yeah. Should I do that? You could read it.
Okay. Oh, let me go one more.
Yes, I have it right here.
And she's looking for that. Just know also, it was a recommendation a couple of years ago to refund our reserves as best as possible, especially EBLR.
Yes. Okay, so the unassigned fund balance at the end, I'm getting blind here, would be $2,256,578, which is 4% of the next year's budget.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Will every student have their one-to-one devices for the meet teacher nights for tomorrow and for Wednesday?
Tonight, I spoke to Mr. DeLeo. He said the grade school should be ready to go. K-2, no, but he did send out an email to parents on their own device where they could put in a web address and get on that way. That was sent, and I want the principals to send that again tomorrow so parents are aware of that. I'm not sure if they are.
I wasn't aware of what was going on at the K-2. All
yeah.
I know is that my son brought a letter home today that said, sign in on your child's one-to-one device, and he does not have a one-to-one device as of today.
Right, and there might be some cases in the grade school because kids did not bring them back
until late and they had to update them, but there is a roundabout way to get on. I'm not going to put the principals on the spot right now, but I know Mr. DeLeo sent me again that email tonight, and he said he sent it out to parents.
Okay.
So the principals really get that message out home to parents in the next couple days. This is the way they can get on if that's not the case.
Okay. Yeah, because I shared that on the three through six pages.
Yep.
And obviously, I know how to get on Teams, but I just don't want the new parents that are new in the district being like, wait.
He gave step-by-step directions in that.
Okay.
They really should have no problem from their own. Yeah.
Okay. I also would like to talk about the air quality in the schools. We know this is something that we have been discussing. I think based on discussions that I have had with various people throughout the district, various business owners, I won't name anything specific, but I think now is the time to decide whether or not we are going to make a push for air conditionings in our schools that currently do not have them, and why are we not trying to do something with solar panels at our elementary school on that gym? I know that it has been talked about in the past, sort of brushed over, it's a lot of work, but I think that now is the time that we should be thinking about this, because if we'd have thought about it a few years ago and had the process started, we might be sitting here with that 87 degree temperature that we pushed today, where my son came home with a headache and I proceeded him to put him on an ice rink to play hockey because that's what he does, but he had a headache when he came home today from school. It was hot. So I don't know the way that this would go about, but I think it's something that you guys should be talking about and discussing and communicating with your public, because we're all concerned about what's going on for the kids, and this is an important piece of it for right now. We're all sitting in here with this wonderful air, but if you turn that off right now, this would be deadly.
So our new facilities director, Mr. Lorfis, would you like to comment?
I can comment first.
We looked into this a couple of years back when I just got on. We looked at solar because I thought solar would be a great idea. And we looked into it, and it was way too expensive to use our roofs and to risk putting holes in them and everything like that. So it really wasn't worth it, because what we did was we had LED lights and we had lights in, and we were with a new company that kept our electric pretty cheap. So we didn't go that route. And then we also looked into air conditioning the buildings, and it would be millions and millions of dollars, probably in the $15 million range, to air condition all three buildings. It is a crazy amount of money to do it. You know, that would have to be a bond that would go out to the public to approve. We thought about it, and we didn't think we would get the approval from the community for air conditioning the building for, really, it goes from maybe May, let's give it May, to October. So, you know, you have children in for May and June, and then September. And so is $15 million in tax money worth those 2 months? You know, the public would decide that.
Right.
But we just, I don't think it would pass.
Okay.
So that's kind of where we are. We could look at it again. But last year we looked at air conditioning because we were going to do a bond again, and it is really, well, I was surprised how expensive it would have been. I thought it would be, you know, $2 million. So when we saw the number, we were like, wow, this is crazy. So that's kind of where we're at. Maybe he has more info than I do, but.
Thanks for sharing that.
Because he brought up the point that
though the air conditioning, the temperature is amazing, it is really about the air quality. It's about the mold. It's about every time I was in that school doing something over the summer in late August, there's dehumidifiers running everywhere. Those wouldn't have to be running. They leave the doors open to get the air conditioning out of the one room into the hallways. I live in a flood zone. I know exactly what happens when the water gets in that basement. So I am, you know, not wanting to have any sort of that nasty, terrible air quality in our schools for our children. So that sort of, as much as we could sit here and say maybe only 3 months, the minute you have moisture somewhere, that's forever. You can't get rid of that. So that's an important factor to think about.
Yeah, no, that's important to think about.
Okay.
But
so,
that's, you know, that's keeping the humidity down in the crawl space, which, yes, that's something we need to keep up with.
Okay, so that's what I have. So, nothing else. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, Ms. Burton.
Good evening. My name is Frank Curtin. I'd like to ask a question about the Hall of Fame, the Athletic Hall of Fame. Is there a committee or a person that's in charge of it, that handles it and decides the procedures?
Yes, that would be our athletic director, Mr. DeJoseph.
Yes.
He's in charge of the Athletic Hall of Fame.
I see. He's the one who handles it.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Thanks
nice seeing you again. We haven't seen you for a while.
I'm sorry.
We haven't seen you for a while. Nice seeing you.
Right. We've been away. It's
really?
Good to be back again.
Good for you.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hear me now? I just am up. It's Lisa McKeown. You know, most of you guys know me. I just wanted to come up to just congratulate and thank Linda Pesci for all the work she's done.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That was the perfect segue.
We wanted to say a few words as well.
Yeah,
right?
Before we get to and pass our resolution, you know, it's always sad when people retire. We're very happy for them when they move on, and we have some really wonderful people who are retiring, and we certainly wish them best. But Mrs. Pesci has been our secretary, our board secretary, as well as the superintendent secretary, and I knew her even before that, and you know, I just have to say, it was always an incredible pleasure to work with her. She just knows everything that's going on in the district. She can help everyone. She's remains calm, always does the right thing, and it's really, we're going to miss you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'll echo those sentiments. It's been a pleasure working with Mrs. Pesci. She really does keep us afloat in so many ways, and just wish you a wonderful, wonderful retirement.
Thank you.
Especially enjoy. We'll miss you.
Thank you.
I say calm is probably the greatest word, and she really is a very welcoming, wonderful person, especially when you're new to the district or you're new, first-time parent, you're having a crisis, you don't know what's going on. You deal with Mrs. Pesci, you always had someone who you knew in their heart was on your side, no matter what. And she was very calm. She's had some tough elections the last few years. She's carried herself with dignity and grace, facing some very uncomfortable discussions and some uncomfortable situations, and she's done nothing but really make us all so proud to know her. And I will miss her terribly. No.
She goes.
She's crying.
She's crying.
Linda, it's been 10 years, and you've been unbelievable all 10. Thank you so much for everything you've done. You've reminded me of everything I was about to miss, and I thank you for that. For the phone calls that I need to be here. So you will be missed. Thank you.
So I just want to echo what everyone has said up here. I mean, when I think about you, I think about these words, calm, patience, grace, and you've just, you know, as a newer board member, you've always been there to answer my questions and respond to my emails immediately. Anything I needed, you were there for me, and you will be greatly missed. Thank
echo everyone's words here. We've only known each other for a few months, and you've been an incredible help to me. Answer every question, kindness, grace, everything everyone has said here. You will be sorely missed. We appreciate everything that you've done for me personally and for the district.
I think we're all kind of overdoing this a little bit.
I agree.
Linda, the several years I've known you, started coming to board meetings, running for the board. Like Teresa said, immediate responses to emails. You're fantastic. So good luck in your retirement.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I don't have to say anything.
No, you do not. But our loss is your grandchildren's gain, I will say that.
Yes,
so.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, moving along. May I have a motion to omnibus items 1 through 16? Okay, Mrs. Noesi, second by Mrs. Jers. Any discussion? All in favor? Passes unanimously. May I now have a motion to approve items 1 through 16? Mrs. Jers, second by Mr. Sonkin. Any discussion? All in favor? No, that comes after. Yeah, okay. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Yeah, I just have to flip my page here. Okay, may I have a motion to approve an item to be added to the agenda as item number 17? Okay, Mr. Montalto, second by Mrs. Noesi. Any discussion? All in favor? Okay, so, central office assignment. Resolved on the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education hereby approves an agreement between the Board of Education and Mr. Travis Davey on the terms and conditions fully discussed in executive session regarding his assignment to Central Office effective September 14, 2021 through October 18, 2021, and hereby authorizes the President of the Board of Education to execute an agreement on behalf of the Board. May I have a motion? Mrs. Jers, seconded by Mrs. Noesi. Any discussion? All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Future meetings, our next meeting will be Monday, October 18th, right here in the library at 7:30 p.m. May I have a motion to adjourn? Mrs. Jer, seconded by Mrs. Petiri.
I have to ask something. Will the committee meetings, are they only going to be in person?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
Okay, so all in favor? Passes unanimously. Have a good evening, everyone.